preaching text will be from the first four verses, but we'll read all of the verses. Let us remember that this is the Word of God. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to
give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. Now the rest of the chapter. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. A serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. May God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word. I was just reading the other day about this kid at the Grand Canyon, 13 years old or so, and he'd gone beyond the security fence or something, the safety fence, and he was kind of looking over the edge. And someone said, "Excuse me, I need to take a selfie." And so he moved out of the way and wasn't paying attention, and he made a wrong step, and over he went. Now, it wasn't all the way to the Colorado River. It was only 100 feet, a 10-story building. He woke up in the hospital, collapsed lung, broken ribs, all kinds of stuff, from the 100-foot fall onto rocks. Now, he is fine until he made that one false step. So that's what we're looking here. In verse 1, we see a false fatal step. And number 2, we see the natural inclinations, how people naturally act and think if they're not in Christ. And then in verses 3 and 4, we see some ideas on how to walk wisely. All right, we were looking last time at some of the unseen influences of wisdom, how it can affect the way we walk and talk and think and act. Here we see the opposite in some ways. Now, you may have someone who is overall godly, and they have a lot of wisdom, but they make a fatal false step. One false step in a man's life may ruin much good influence he's had, as well as the influence of many others who people associate with him. So, for example, I think of, there are many examples of people we can think of who were thought of highly, and they messed up in one area. And not only are they now totally discounted Who wants to listen to them? It's messed up everyone who goes along with them. I know that for a time, for example, many in our congregation at the time, were interested in an organization called Vision Forum. It was run by this guy by the name of Doug Phillips. Well, sadly, Mr. Phillips got involved with this family's babysitter, and she made it known that she had been sexually abused by him. And it totally wiped out the company, totally wiped out Mr. Phillips' family, totally wiped out whatever good influence he might have had. Solomon is led here to write that, you know, if you have, let's say, some really sweet-smelling ointment, right? It's not that it's used for skin conditioning or anything. You take a little fingerful, like you might with some Vicks VapoRub, but instead of wanting to clean out your nose, it's just to smell pretty. And maybe put a little dab back here behind your ears or something like that. So you have this nice aroma to you. You smell nice, and maybe it smells of spice or of flowers or fruit, something of the sort that commonly we associate with perfume. But about a week ago, the last time you used it, when you closed the jar, a stupid fly sneaked in and landed, because maybe it smelled good to the fly too. And it got stuck in the ointment and it died. And now it's rotting. And the juices from inside the fly get into the ointment and it stinks. Now, most everything in this jar is this perfectly fine perfume ointment. Just one little fly. But despite the fact that you've got a whole jar full of this sweet-smelling stuff, one little fly messes up everything. Now, the sad thing is, it's easy to have this happen when you let your guard down, when you get sleepy spiritually. Right? When you get sleepy spiritually and you begin to think, I'm cool, everything's fine. By God's grace, I'm getting holy. I don't need to worry about this or that or the other. I can just go on blithely and carelessly through life. And you kind of step over a cliff. So the upshot of all this here in verse 1 is you need to be very careful. Some of you have read, let me try that again. Some of you have read The Pilgrim's Progress. And if so, you will remember Christian walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He had to go through at night, and so it was dark, and he had to be very careful because on one side were all kinds of traps and snares that would clamp down on his foot or leg and have him trapped. On the other side was this horrible cliff. He had to be really, really careful, and there were other problems as well. In God's grace and kindness, though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he was able to fear no evil because God was with him. His rod and his staff, they comforted him. But if we're careless, we can end up going over a cliff, spiritually speaking. The sad fact is you and I still sin. We still sin. We sometimes sin by not doing what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we sin by doing exactly what God said not to do. And Christians aren't perfected yet. We have no perfected until we have our new life in heaven. But be aware that when you commit sin, be very aware of something. And that is you can be sure that they can and will be used against you by the wicked to tear you down and tear you up and to discredit the gospel. They'll try to do that every single time. Aha! We just saw that in Psalm 70, didn't we? Aha! I saw that. I heard about that. I know about that. You are just a hypocrite. All that you've said is false. All that you've said is stupid. All that you've said is prejudicial and hate and all that. I know your kind. I don't need to pay attention to you. And I know this God that you talk about. He's a mean old thing. And this just proves it, right? Don't take the fatal step. In fact, pray that God would preserve you. That's why we sang from Psalm 25a, thy way teach me, Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart, thy name to fear. Right? That should be our frequent prayer. Now in verse 2, we read, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Now, this doesn't mean that if you are wise, your heart is over here on the right side of your body. Okay, that's a medical condition, and it's not good. Normally, our hearts are on our left side. This is talking in a figure of speech. What Solomon, or more to the point, the Holy Spirit through Solomon is getting to us with is that although the godly man may at times sadly, to his own grief when he comes to his senses, may think or say or even do things inconsistent with his new heart nature. But the fact is, someone that is saved, someone that is in Jesus, someone who's been given a new heart, whose heart is circumcised, has an entirely different inclination than the fool, which he used to be, right? The falling into sin, the careless step, whatever, is not normally the way he is. Characteristically, he is godly. She is godly. That's the way that normally he is. The one whose heart is changed by God's grace inclines to holiness, to righteousness, to godliness generally. Anything that resembles his old life is a glaring exception, which is why it appears so, well, glaring. I don't know if you've ever noticed in the springtime or in the fall when the weather is changing. In the springtime, it's changing from cold to warm, and this time of year, from warm to cold. We get these pop-up thunder or maybe just rainstorms. And the sky is blue all over the place, but here comes a cloud. And when it's coming and we're still in the sunshine, it looks black. You ever notice that? But once it gets overhead, it's just kind of gray and drippy. Right? It doesn't appear so black. Because everything's covered over, you can't see the brightness of the sun because the sun's behind the cloud. But if the sun is out and the cloud comes by, it looks lots nastier. And that's why our sin appears so much nastier. Because that's not, by God's grace, the normal way we work. On the other hand, the person who is still in Adam, the person who hasn't been changed by God, their natural inclination is toward filth, violence, hatred, evil, and destruction. Now, it's true. Sometimes they think, relatively speaking, wise things. They say good things. They do kind things. But anytime they are different from being, as I said, filthy, violent, hateful, evil, and destructive, well, that's due to God's what we call common grace restraining him. And it's due to the remaining defaced image of God. All this nasty stuff is what is characteristic of them. Now, Judy has heard me say this a gazillion times, and maybe some of you have heard me say it a few times, that you should always expect pagans to act like pagans and always to speak and to think like pagans. Now then, Solomon in verses 3 and 4 shows how all this works out practically. He says, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. And then if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. With the fool, well, the sad fact is, anytime he talks, he shows what a fool he is. I think it was Mark Twain that said something to the effect, better to keep quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay. So, with the fool, he doesn't have to talk to show what sort of a guy he is. It naturally shows up to everyone eventually. Doesn't take too long at all. I don't know if any of you kids have ever heard your moms, after you've done something wrong, and they ask you, did you do what you were told not to do? And you kind of look down and you don't say anything, and mom says to you, I can see guilt written all over your face. Well, who took a marker to me? No, that's not what it's meant. Your mom can tell by the way you act. Your mom can tell by the look on your face. And that is the way it is with fools. You don't have to watch him very long to find out that he is a fool. On the other hand, the wise know how to act because they are informed by the word of God, because they have new hearts, because they are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. They have wisdom from God. They don't rebel or panic when there's trouble with those who are in authority over them, as we see there in verse 4. The spirit of a ruler, that is like a king, rises against you. Don't leave your post. In other words, don't run away. Don't refuse to be reconciled to the king. Rather, conciliation pacifies great offenses. If this be the case with, say, King Charles of Britain, so much more so is it with the King of all the world, King Jesus, or with the Father. Don't run away. No, the wise thing to do is stay in place and be friends with the Father through the Son. These wise ones have known God. They know His word, and they have at times prayed for wisdom, and when we do so, God gives it without scolding us. When potential trouble comes, they're found to be obedient and useful. And here's a good new word for you kids. I'm constantly teaching you new words. Conciliatory. That is, they try to make things right. They try to make things friendly. They try to apologize and seek forgiveness. The wise ones, therefore, they make out fine. They are careful in the way that they work. And unlike the kid at the Grand Canyon in this last week or so, they don't make false steps. On the other hand, the fools, well, they just wipe out. They end up at the bottom on the rocks, 10 stories down. So what is the what's the summary of all this? Well, as Solomon has been saying all along, and as we see through the book of Proverbs, also much of that, humanly speaking, written by Solomon, get wisdom. Get wisdom. And where do you get wisdom? Here in God's word. You get that here by the working of the Spirit who brought it to pass and who gives you understanding of it. Get wisdom. That is the essential thing. And how do you do so? It is not only by knowing the word written, but by knowing the word who has become flesh and dwelt among us. That is, by knowing Jesus Christ. It is that way that you can avoid false steps, That is the way you can walk safely through the valley of the shadow of death and reach safely what Bunyan called in The Pilgrim's Progress, the celestial city. Amen. Let's finish up our worship service here by singing from Psalm 119F. Then we'll receive God's blessing and respond to it.